The following is a pre-recorded program.
We're answering some of your toughest, most controversial questions today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, welcome to The Line of Fire. If you are listening to this broadcast live, it is Friday. It is Good Friday on the church calendar. And because of that, our radio studio is closed, so I have pre-recorded this broadcast, meaning I cannot take your calls today, but I did post this on Facebook. Here's what I wrote on Facebook. Let me read you the actual post. Do you have a question relating to the American Gospel Roundtable with Sam Storms, Jim Osmond, Justin Peters, and me, or a question relating to the recent controversy of the downplaying of Luther's anti-Semitism by Chris Roseborough? Post it here now, and I'll do my best to respond to as many as possible during the Friday broadcast, which I'm about to pre-record. As I'm speaking now, I'm in Orlando, Florida, for the record. You can be specific and pointed, but please, no name-calling or personal attacks. So I wanted people to be able to ask me candid, probing questions, but try to avoid the mudslinging as much as possible. Before I get into this, we are so blessed to be able to put into your hands every month our Frontline Equipping newsletter. It is full of information, impartation, inspiration. It'll bless you. You'll look forward to getting it every month, from the Hebrew word study of the month to a free book excerpt to testimonies and the main lead message. So if you're not getting the Frontline newsletter, which also means you're not getting updated every single week, once a week with latest articles and videos. Just wrote an article about my visit to the Israeli embassy in D.C. to watch footage from the October 7th massacre and the protests we were greeted with outside. You may not know about that if you're not getting our email. So go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, and sign up today. Now, some have just posted comments, but I'm looking for specific questions. So the 20-minute evangelist asks, why don't we push back on them, meaning on the critics of the charismatic movement, as hard as they push on us? I would say that we do not feel called to do that or burdened to do that as they do. I'm not saying they're right or wrong in what they're doing. I'm saying that is not our perception, that we are supposed to spend a lot of our time critiquing John MacArthur, critiquing the late R.C. Sproul, critiquing this one and that one, critiquing that charismatic and that Calvinist, and that cessationist, etc., etc. Whereas they feel, for the sake of doctrinal purity and calling out wolves and exposing false teachers, they are to do that. What I would say is, when they have launched strong attacks like Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire Conference and book, I felt called to respond graciously but forcefully with my book, Authentic Fire. As the cessationist movie has come out, and there's going to be a big cessationist conference next year, I have felt more burdened to respond. As American Gospel has published certain attacks, I felt more led to respond. And I would also say that charismatics and Pentecostals may speak in negative terms about those who deny the gifts and power of the Spirit, but not name names in the same way. And also say, in the larger charismatic Pentecostal movement, we have a weakness in not calling out error as much as we should. I would say on the anti-charismatic side, they have a weakness of calling out what they perceive to be error more than they should. So I don't feel that we have that same burden in calling to attack them the way they've attacked us. I believe there are plenty of areas we could just as easily, just as forcefully. Last thing I would say is, I have felt that it's right to press the issue of unequal weights and measures, of them giving a pass to someone in their own camp while attacking someone in our camp. Okay, let's see. David Weyerbach, you're referring to Luther's basic diabolical actions towards Jews and peasants in his day because they didn't believe or accept the Lord, was an excellent response. My only wish during the whole four-hour conversation was that they kept on coming back to Benny Hinn and Sid Roth. They kept on hammering you guys with some of the outlandish statements and actions by them. I wish you would have hammered them more on their Atlantis statements about why they do not believe in the gifts of the Spirit today. I wish you would have more of exegesis, so to speak, discussion. Even with that being said, I think you guys held your ground and did a really good job. I appreciate that very much in terms of the positive comments. But to be clear, this was not a debate about the gifts of the Spirit. I agreed, and Dr. Storms agreed, to be part of a discussion with Justin Peters and Jim Osman. And I encourage everyone to watch it. I believe it was a fair discussion and that you can only learn from watching it. But that was not what they agreed to debate. So we did push certain issues. We did raise issues where they felt they were in error. But this was not a debate about that. That was not what they agreed to do. And therefore, we didn't push on that harder. There was pushing, but not as hard as would be in a debate. So that's the reason for it. Okay, let's see. I got one. Why do people side with Justin Peters? He's a bad pastor. All he does is bash others and never preach the Bible. Why are you against the Word of Faith, people of God? I believe the Word of Faith teaching. That's how I was raised and how I believe. We've always been supporters of Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Keith Moore, Rick Renner, Copeland, Robert Morris, Andrew Womack, Catherine Coleman. I just don't understand why people want to talk, bad word, about other people of God. The last time I checked, as long as the person is preaching the Word of God, that Jesus is the only way and he's Lord, then we're all on the same team. Just like Jesus told the disciples when they came to someone, typo here, they said they're going to Samaria. Okay, when they came to Jinami said, but this must have been dictated. Anyway, they're doing this. You want to call fire them. Jesus said no, because if they're not against us, they're for us. Okay, number one, as far as Justin Peters, he said he'd much rather just do evangelism and win the loss, but he's seen so many people hurt by teaching. If you're not healed, you don't have enough faith. And if you give this amount of money, you're going to get 100-fold back. That he's grieved over it and feels called to address these things and to address errors. That's between him and God. Jim Osmond, as a pastor, would say he'd seen people hurt by this. And I have worked with teachers, preachers that had Word of Faith backgrounds, that were fine believers, that were solid believers, who believed in the power of confessing the Word of God, who believed in God's goodness, who believed in God's provision. They were solid believers and not heretics. I've seen others who go to dangerous extremes with teaching and live in a denial of reality. I've seen those who take the prosperity message into a carnal, destructive message that Jesus died to make you rich and that the measure of your spirituality is your financial wealth and dangerous things like that. That should be spoken against. They would claim that some of these people listed here have taught heresy and that therefore they're not brothers and sisters. And what I've said to them is, if what you're saying about these people is true and in context, then that would be heretical. But I don't trust your research. I have to look at it myself. And again, I feel there are cases where there have been gross exaggerations about people that are brothers and sisters, but they would say are not saved at all. And because I will not cross that line, therefore, they say I'm not going far enough. Nick Dotson, why are cessationists so pushy and absolute about their beliefs? Why do they always bring up the same four bad teachers and never talk about real teachers like yourself or Sam Storms or people on Remnant Radio or anyone who is continuationist, but solid in their beliefs? Number one, I would say that just as we are dogmatic that the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today, and we don't even have to think twice about it. It's just like breathing air to us. It's what's written in the Word, and it's our experience that they're convinced it's not from God and that much damage is being done. Of course, they're very wrong in saying it's not from God, but that's their conviction. It's also their conviction that they have the right orthodox doctrine. And because they're so convinced of their orthodoxy, therefore, they will strongly differ with those who oppose. I do agree that often the same few teachers are brought up and bashed, and everyone is kind of put in that same class. They would say about me, they consider me a brother, or consider Sam Storms a brother, but they believe they're wrong on this, and we should call people out more clearly. But Others have other lists. In other words, everybody's got their own list of people that they bash. And I believe it's right to point out error. I believe there's a way that it's done that is often destructive. Robin Jones, I'm seeing anti-Semitism arise among conservative charismatics due to conservative reporting on the pushback from IDF on West Bank. The reports are making it sound horrendous. How do we combat this and get over the smokescreen to coax conservative Christians into resenting Israel? We don't get a ticket to resent any Jew, good or bad, from the Creator. I appreciate that question about anti-Semitism. Number one, we realize that it is God who brought the Jewish people back to the land, and therefore Satan who wants to drive them out. Number two, we recognize that it is God who chose the Jewish people for a purpose and promised that no matter what happened, he would preserve us in this world. Therefore, Satan wants to wipe us out and hates us. Number three, we have to realize that anti-Semitism is kind of the default value of the human race. It's the way that people go virtually automatically without divine intervention. It's a demonic, insidious thing. And unless people are really grounded in a solid theology that recognizes God's purposes for Israel, that recognizes what Satan is seeking to do, that recognizes there's a reason that Satan tried to wipe out the Jewish people in the Holocaust. There's a reason that Jews have been hated and attacked in country after country after country simply for being Jews. There's a reason for it. So we need to stand against Satan and with the Lord. And we need to be grounded in the recognition that the church has not displaced Israel, that the promises that God gave to Israel remain promises for Israel. Some of them are shared with the church as a whole. Others are specifically for the Jewish people, and that God will be glorified through this and is ultimately turning the hearts of his people to Jesus the Messiah, which is the ultimate issue. We also have to realize that as much as we should have sympathy for the Palestinians, check out my article with that title, Sympathy for the Palestinians, as much as we grieve over the loss of a Palestinian baby, just as we grieve over the loss of an Israeli baby, we must remember the vast majority of the people in the West Bank have stood with Hamas and approved of the massacre. You probably don't believe that the atrocities happened on the level they really did. So it's almost impossible for Israel to dwell side by side in peace. That being said, as friends of Israel, where Israel does go too far, where Israel does not act righteously, by all means, we should call Israel out at the same time as we stand with.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. I want to introduce our Trivita Alfred Libby original patented sublingual B12, B6, and folate formula. I had the wonderful opportunity of meeting Alfred Libby, a pioneer in vitamin research. I also had the opportunity to obtain the patented formula, and the rest is history, with over 50 million tablets being taken by our Trivita members through the years. The amazing testimonies of mental clarity, mood enhancement, and more energy have been thrilling to me as a founder of Trivita Wellness. Not only is it an amazing B12 product, but it is loaded with the essential B6 vitamin. I call it the workhorse vitamin. It is vital for strong immune function and every body system. Here's what the National Center for Biotechnology Information says, and I quote, "It plays a key role and is crucial to immune function. It is a molecule necessary for the proper functioning of the entire body system, and its role cannot be overestimated." Harvard Medical School of Health says folate is the natural form of vitamin B9, and it plays a key role in breaking down homocysteine, an amino acid that can exert harmful effects on the body when it is present in high amounts. I encourage you today to try the Trivita Libby B12, B6, and folate formula.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, where we are here to infuse you with faith, truth, and courage. I just finished working out, had a full day, taught for four-something hours, and then I had a fruitful dinner with a colleague. And then about 9:15 in the evening, hit a nice workout. Now recording this show, as I explained, the radio studio is closed for Good Friday. So we're pre-recording this as I'm in Orlando, Florida. And one reason I have so much energy, the biggest reason is healthy, healthy eating. And also before I work out, also first thing in the morning on a non-workout day, I take my Trivita supplements, MyoHealth and nitric oxide, and some others add in through the day, but those are key for working out and energy and muscle strength. So if you'd like, you can check them out for yourself by calling 800-771-5584, or you can go to trivita.com if you want to find out more. And if you go there, you can use the code BROWN25. Okay, let me go back to your questions posted on Facebook. So Gian Aguirre asks, have you since, meaning since the roundtable discussion, which was actually last year, looked into the validity of these claims concerning Benny Hinn? If not, why? Nope, I haven't. And I explained why in depth on the Tuesday show. I explained on the Tuesday show that I have a calling from God, which takes me every day, all day, and all night to do what God has called me to do and to be about the work he's called me to do. To be about, and people are expecting me to deliver the goods. They are waiting for the messages. They are waiting for the articles. They are waiting for the books. They are waiting for the broadcast. They are waiting for the teaching. They are waiting for me in other countries. So I have to give my attention to that, to what God's called me to do, and to deliver those things to other people. If you say, yeah, well, they've done the research, well, I don't trust the research. I'll just throw something out as an example. Not to demean Justin Peters in any way. We've had good dialogue. And he's been respectful towards me and I towards him. Justin did his master's thesis on Benny Hinn, researching Benny Hinn and coming up with a litany of charges against Benny Hinn. And he did this for Christian ministry. Subsequently, as Justin had been in ministry for some years, he realized, according to him, he was not even saved. He was not born again. It was only when he became a Calvinist that he said he knows he was born again. So here he is doing ministry and researching Benny Hinn and thinking he was saved, and he wasn't even saved. So perhaps 6 months from now, he'll be filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues and saying, hey, I wasn't saved when I was a Calvinist. Who knows, right? So I have to research for myself. I have to study for myself and not base what others say. At the same time, I've heard people say, I've been listening to Benny Hinn preach for years, and he's preaching holiness and repentance and glorifying Jesus and preaching salvation. And then someone else will send me something. Look at his latest fundraising thing. Look at the gimmicks. Look at this. Look at that. So because God has not called me to focus on this, and there's only so much time in the day, no, I haven't. And I could ask Justin or Jim or John MacArthur or 100 other critics, why aren't you doing X, Y, Z that are important in the Bible? You're not doing that. They say, well, there's only so much time in the day and God hasn't called us to. How can we not addressing this issue in your camp and that issue in your camp and this deep? Well, they're not focused on that. Okay, fine. Let us each do what God has called us to do. But my statement remains the same. If what someone says about teacher X or teacher Y, if all of that is true, if they currently teach those things and have not repudiated them and corrected them, then yes, they're heretics if they teach those things. So that's a clear enough statement. Okay, Herman, it seems to me you were defending this people that Justin Peters were showing what they were doing. Once again, it was not a matter of defending. unless I knew a person and I said, I can speak well of this person as a believer, like Sid Roth, as for every guest on his show, he would tell you he doesn't agree with every guest he's ever had. He would also say that if you read the Bible, you'll expect supernatural things. But to say it again, if someone comes to me with a list and says, this person teaches these things and this person is guilty of these sins, and I see it clear, and I say, okay, if that's true, then that person should not be in ministry, or if that's true, the person is a heretic. I think that's pretty clear. But as I said on Tuesday's show, it's a black hole. It's never enough. You have to denounce this one. No, and this one. No, what about this one? Because everybody has a different list. Okay, Ben, just a suggestion, maybe as an olive branch to Justin Peters, go through his Clouds Without Water presentation, and then you can see the evidence of false teaching presented. There you can examine it and call out those who need to be called out. Justin doesn't need an olive branch from me, nor do I need one from him. We've had respectful dialogue. He put up a video with Jim Osmond that I felt was unfair. I talked to them privately, moderated by Brandon Kimber, and they pulled the video. I appreciated that. I felt it was integrity. I've not bashed them on the air, and despite differences, we don't need an olive branch, but why am I supposed to stop what I'm doing? You know how many thousands of hours of videos people want me to watch? You know how many books they want me to read? I'm not sure if you could imagine. Here, just look on our Facebook page, okay? I'm no big shot. I'm no superstar. We're all servants, servants, servants. But my Facebook page is 585,000 people. And then my private page is like 25,000 people following there. So just there, 610,000 people that potentially can have access to me. Do you know how many requests we get? I'm no big shot. I'm just trying to serve the body and honor Jesus, okay? Just there. Do you know how many people want us to look at this and respond to this, etc.? So if I did that, you would never hear from me for the next 50 years. I wouldn't be doing anything for Jewish evangelism and Jewish apologetics. I wouldn't be doing anything for culture wars. I wouldn't be traveling overseas several times a year. I wouldn't be teaching at different ministry schools. I wouldn't be doing the radio show. That's the reality. Plus, I can't trust someone else's research. I have to do it for myself. And I've done it. I've done it numerous times over the years and written numerous critiques of issues within my own charismatic movement many times. So what I tell people is if you really believe it's important I address something, pray that God will burden me, and I am his servant. Alan, you exchanged numbers with Chris Roseboro after he called into your program and seemingly had a civil conversation. Were there any positive outcomes from further conversations that may have occurred off radio? Yes, so if you didn't hear, I did update that. I called him immediately after the show. Now, I had just recorded the video where we call out American Gospel for downplaying Luther's anti-Semitism. And you'll see I'm very passionate and strong on that video. I'd recorded that about 45 minutes before I spoke with Chris on the phone. And you can see how graciously I greeted him on the phone and how gracious he was with me. I called him immediately after. We had a short chat and set up a call for that following Monday. So this is now a week ago Monday as I'm speaking to you. And we both agreed at the end, talked almost 2 hours, that it was constructive and fruitful. He laid out his charges against me very strongly, and I laid out where I believed he had sinned against me and hurt the body strongly. So there were no punches pulled. But I said at the end, I will refer to this as a constructive and fruitful discussion, and he agreed. And one of our big arguments, the same as had with Justin Peters and Jim Osmond and other cessationists, is the use of the term false teacher, false prophet, false apostle. I will only do it for someone who I believe is a servant of Satan, a wolf in sheep's clothing, a deceiver, a non-believer who is leading others into heresy. Even if they believe they are believers, they are not. I will not use it for a brother or teacher, a brother or sister teaching error. For example, I'm 100% sure that John MacArthur is wrong about the gifts of the Spirit, tongues, prophecy, healing, etc., not being normative for today. I'm 100% sure he's wrong. I don't call him a false teacher. I say he's wrong on that. I hold to other things very strongly. I don't hold to preacher or Bradshaw. I'm not a Calvinist. and call out James White as a false teacher because he's a Calvinist. So it is a difference in terminology, and that's something that Chris and I may have a conversation about on the air one day. Okay, we will be right back.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire. And Michael Brown, joyfully serving as your voice for more sanity and spiritual clarity. May the Lord be honored, may the Lord be glorified in all that we discuss. Remember, we have thousands of articles. I believe it's over 3,000 articles archived on our website, and they're free. Just search for them to your heart's content. Go to thelineoffire.org. Look for a subject you're interested in. Search for different keywords. You'll be amazed with what comes up. We have over 3,000 videos on our YouTube channel, The Line of Fire. You can also access them or links to them on our website, thelineoffire.org. So check these out. We're here for you. We're here to bless you, serve you, help you, equip you. We want to empower you so you can stand strong on the front lines. All right. Scott Phillips asks on Facebook, Dr. Brown, you were very gracious with the others who differed with you. Again, we're talking about the roundtable discussion recorded and released by American Gospel. That was 1 year ago, April of last year, we recorded it. You're very gracious with the others who differ with you to your face. Do you ever feel intimidated? How do you prepare for these types of meetings? I appreciate your example. Well, thank you, Scott. No, I'm not intimidated, especially by other brothers in the Lord. The thought of being intimidated doesn't strike me. It's nothing I have to worry about. I'm 100% confident in the positions that I hold. As for preparing for it, there was not a lot that I had to do to prepare. In other words, these are things I live with and think about that are, I didn't have to do research or anything like that. When I did press issues about Martin Luther, I knew where to get those quotes from things I had written or things I had just remembered he had said. If I'm debating someone and it's not my main field of interest, or I really want to understand where they're coming from, then it's a matter of really learning, you know, their position well, and then thinking through the best ways to present mine and rebut things. So, for example, debating Dr. Dale Tuggy,
about the deity of Jesus, so that's easy for me to present my side, but I wanted to know exactly what he believed and understand it and know where he'd be coming from. And, you know, the same thing, if there was a cessationist that had material out, I just want to understand so I could do the very best and be the sharpest, even though I wouldn't feel any need to prepare. You know, I may lay out comments to make sure they're within a time frame, but I wouldn't feel the need to prepare for things that are just in my heart, in my mind, that I know very well. But I did not want to name names because it can be uncomfortable. It can put you in a position where you may have a friend or a colleague that's presented in a bad light, and you don't want to downplay an error or a mistake that may have been made or something that shouldn't have been said. At the same time, you want to be truthful, and you want to be loyal to a friend that you know to be solid in the Lord. So, but that was the whole purpose of it, to not just speak philosophically. So we agreed to do it. So it was just a matter of praying for God's heart and mind and sitting down with brothers and trying to model how to have a Christ-like discussion. Okay, Matt Phileo, I'm a continuationist, but I recently watched a YouTube video by a charismatic pastor who wondered if his charismatics were often afraid to call out a teacher because of the touch not the Lord's anointed philosophy. Is it possible that the anointed are not just the leaders, but rather the entire congregation? And those being rebuked were the kings, in other words, those in authority who abuse that authority by invoking an idea that the congregation dare not question anything that they do. I'm not saying we should be disrespectful to authority and church leaders, but shouldn't we be like the Bereans and search to see if the things being preached and perhaps practiced are true? Absolutely, it's a weakness. In my book, Playing with Holy Fire, that came out in 2018, a wake-up call to the Pentecostal Charismatic Church. So yes, I write books like that. Before you say I don't call people out, read the books or watch my videos calling out Trump prophets by name, or read The Political Seduction of the Church. When it's appropriate to do it by name, I do it, and those I focus on and look at. So yes, there is this fear even of a congregant, touch not mine anointed. It is taken completely out of context to apply it to a pastor or teacher or leader today. Don't touch the anointed. Yes, there are believers who are afraid to do it. There are Christian leaders who are afraid to do it because we don't want to touch the anointed. And that is a real problem that we must address. Now, there are non-charismatic pastors that abuse their authority, that abuse their role, they may not quote that scripture, but you don't dare question the man of God. You don't dare question the teacher that God has raised up in your midst. But it's even worse with charismatics, because let's say that God uses this person to heal, or God works miracles through them, or gives prophetic words through them. And you think, well, I can't question them because the anointing's on them. Well, if they teach error, you question that. If their character is faulty, you question that. If they're abusing their authority, you question that. It's righteous and right to do that. And if you're powerless to bring about change, then you leave if they've crossed lines of error, etc. So in context, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. It's not about the patriarchs. when God scattered Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, told people, you don't touch them. Do my prophets no harm. And yet, if it spoke about the king of Israel, like David would not touch the anointed of the Lord, that was the king. None of us are kings. We're servants. Shepherds are servants. So, and yes, we're all the anointed of the Lord in that sense, in terms of being God's children in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. So you better believe that's a problem in our midst, and it's something we must overcome. Yes, be respectful. Yes, be honoring. Yes, recognize if God has used someone. Yes, recognize if they've sacrificed for the Lord. But by all means, we must call out error where it is. We must rebuke moral failure where it exists. And we cannot compromise the standards of God. And often we don't do it for fear of touching the anointed. That is a real serious problem in our midst that we must address. John Davison, what's the best resource with all of the Luther quotes you mentioned in the round table? In the roundtable, I only mentioned the Luther quotes. Well, no, I'm sorry. I did mention a wide range of Luther quotes, the anti-Semitic, as well as some of the extreme comments with the Peasants' War. I didn't get into his comments about the Anabaptists. So these were those who believed in baptizing believers, not children. Those were very harsh, definitely led to the death of Anabaptists. And then an extreme comment about how the Christian is Lord over all. And of course, if you get some Word of Faith preachers saying a similar thing and don't look at larger context, you think they were as crazy as the Luther comment sounds in itself without larger context. I would recommend a book by Eric W. Gritsch. Eric W. Gritsch, just to focus on the anti-Semitism issue. And there are other compilations of Luther that really do. Let me see if I have the name right here. I believe I do, but I did cite it. I do cite Gritsch on my, no, not the Wit of Martin Luther. Here it is. Eric W. Gritsch, G-R-I-T-S-H, Martin Luther's Anti-Semitism Against His Better Judgment. He is a Luther scholar, and it is just focused on that. I would recommend that you find it very helpful, I believe. Nelson Benucci, why did you not choose a contemporary example of a Calvinist? For example, some hyper-Calvinist who, unless I'm mistaken, does not preach the gospel, inviting sinners to repentance, that ought to be condemned, not to hell, but their teachings, in the same way Osmond and Peters were putting forward contemporary charismatic Pentecostals for condemnation, rather than putting forward someone close to 500 years in the past. Well, I think I may understand a bit why. Nevertheless, I found Martin Luther to be irrelevant, since both Calvinists and the Round Table were talking about contemporary preachers, pastors. I think showing them a contemporary bad example of a Calvinist preacher, pastor, which they may refuse to condemn, would have been more applicable and relevant. A great question. Thank you for it. First, Luther is important because of the massive influence he has, because of how he's looked to in such reverent terms as a giant, and because of what is called the genetic fallacy, that if you can trace things back far enough and you find some bad roots, then the whole thing is corrupt and bad. So, you know, the look at origins of the charismatic movement, Charles Parham, there was a sex scandal or he was accused of, or this one was off, or Amy Semple McPherson staged a kidnapping, and therefore the whole Pentecostal movement's off. So that's the other reason for it, Nelson, and that's what I get into in Authentic Fire. But I simply wanted to use it as a glaring example of double standards. But your point is well taken in terms of calling out contemporary Calvinists that would be hyper-Calvinists that don't preach the gospel, but I haven't researched that. In other words, I don't know who they are. If they preach in such a way, the type of stuff that Finney had to combat, that there's nothing you can do to lead a sinner to repentance, and it's just a matter of God leads them to repentance, God saves them, so you don't do evangelism and things. I'm sure they exist. I just don't know who they are. And if I was to call out others for preaching a radical, once saved, always saved message, that, you know, if you're truly saved, no matter how you live, you're still saved, they would probably repudiate it and say that they don't believe in that. They believe in Calvinist perseverance of the saints. And I have called out what I believe is unfair treatment and statements from John MacArthur, as well as other critics. But that's a great point. That's a great point. And perhaps in future conversation, that would be something that I look at. If you think of examples of major, well-known Calvinists that don't evangelize, that just leave it to, quote, the sovereignty of God to save, great, send me some relevant links. And if I do have time and feel inclined to look into it, great. Yeah, so fair point. I appreciate it. All right, I will be right back on the other side of the break to take more of your questions. Unfortunately, we can't be live today and take calls because our guys were willing to come in, but our main studio, of course, it's a holiday for them, so they need a day off here and there. So we are pre-recorded today, hence no phone calls, but we should be with you, most every day the rest of the month, except when I'm in Italy later in the month, but taking your calls live right here on the Line of Fire. I love to do it. So second best, at least we can interact on social media and answer your questions here. If we're blessing to you, share this with others and click on like and share on Facebook and do the same on YouTube. If you don't subscribe to our YouTube channel, take a moment right now, click on the subscribe button, and then there's a bell, click on that.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health. Over the years, I have helped countless people increase and maintain their natural energy production with Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12, sold only by Trivita. I have never met anyone deficient in caffeine or sugar, but I have met many people deficient in energy-supporting vitamin B12. Vitamin B12 is one of the 8 B vitamins, and it is an essential nutrient, meaning the body cannot make B12 on its own. You see, unlike other oral B12 supplements, Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is fast-acting because the formula is scientifically developed to dissolve under the tongue, bypassing the digestive process, making it immediately available for use in the body. Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12 is also formulated with other natural energy-supporting ingredients, such as folate, ginseng root, and other natural ingredients. Not only are the ingredients beneficial for energy, but they also support healthy cognition, mood, nerve function, and natural hemoglobin production. You deserve to live with greater energy and mental clarity. And now, like millions of others, you can with Alfred Libby's Slow Dissolve Super B12, sold only by your wellness partner, Trivita.
To order Alfred Libby's B12 for yourself, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we've got one more segment here on this pre-recorded Good Friday broadcast. Those of you that celebrate this time of year in a sacred way, maybe remember what was done on the cross. If you're listening, you just happen to tune in, driving somewhere, don't even know who I am, Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. A Jewish follower of Jesus, came to faith in 1971 as an LSD-using, heroin-shooting hippie rock drummer, 16 years old. God miraculously turned my life around. And that same grace, that same mercy, that same forgiveness, that same new start is available to you. If you realize you've sinned against God, if you realize you've blown it, if you've realized if God was to judge you for every sin you ever committed, you would be damned forever. If you recognize your guilt, then here's something incredible. Jesus died for you. Jesus died to take your place. Jesus died so that you could live, that you could live a new life, not for yourself, but for him. Think of it like this. All the guilt, every wrong thing you ever did, he died for it. When he hung on the cross, that was for you and for me, so that God could look at us and say, I forgive because the price has been paid by my son. You don't want to scorn that. You don't want to know that. Maybe you've been raised in the faith, but you just don't want to live for God. Are you going to spit in the face of what Jesus did for you? Better to say, God, I'm struggling. I'm messed up. I don't even know I can change, but I need help. Help me. Help me. If you help me, I'll live for you. Start where you are and cry out to him, and you'll be amazed at how near he will draw to you. Okay, let me keep up with your questions. Matthew David Landberg, Michael L. Brown, I'd ask them, what are you doing to the abuse and neglect of those inside of the charismatic church, and what are you doing to be salt and light to the world? Well, they would be saying that they are helping these charismatics who've been hurt and burned by exposing the false teachers and false teaching. As for what they're doing to be salt and light in the world or to the world, that's a fair question to ask. For example, God's called me to stand on the front lines of the culture wars and to equip the church to address areas of can you be gay and Christian, or what about the Bible and being transgender, and to equip us to have hearts of compassion and backbones of steel. He's called me to go to the nations and bring the gospel and train workers to go around the world. He's trained me to do Jewish evangelism and apologetics. I could say, what are you doing in those areas? And they might say, well, God hasn't called me to. But it's always good to ask, what kind of fruit are we bearing? It's fair to ask that for any ministry. Chris Connor, did you know the letter of the Jews was in response to a book that reasserted Talmudic references to Jesus burning in dung and hell, that the rabbi Luther was corresponding with was considered a radical by Luther's friends who were rabbis, that his rabbi friends didn't hold the letters against him, and many rabbis attended his funeral? Chris, where did you get all this information from? I'm just wondering where you got it from. Is it true that Luther was presented with literature that said all kinds of blasphemous things against Jesus and accused Mary of being a harlot? Yeah, that's true. That's accurate. The Jews over the centuries, in reaction to Christian persecution and hatred and demonizing of them, did say some very ugly and wrong things about Jesus. Yeah, that's true. And by the way, I've heard Christian leaders say all kinds of bad things about Muhammad and call him a false prophet and a deceiver. And Christians would say Muhammad is burning in hell. So for rabbis to say that about Jesus, especially in light of church history and what they had suffered from the hands of so-called Christians, that's not a surprise. Yeah, Luther did see this, but the fact is that it's not a letter he wrote to the rabbis. He wrote a mini book to the princes of Germany. He wrote a mini book to the princes in Germany calling for the synagogues to be set on fire, calling for Jews, for the rabbis to be forbidden to teach under penalty of death, calling for Jewish houses to be destroyed, calling on Jews to be deprived of good jobs and given the flail and the axe and the hoe, and to be subservient to the Christians, to be rounded up in ghettos like gypsies, to have their religious books confiscated. That's sick. That's demonic. They wrote ugly things. Look, how do you think rabbis feel when they read what Jesus says about the Pharisees in the New Testament and the condemnation of ones that they look to as spiritual fathers and great teachers? So it would be like saying that Muslims are justified in slaughtering Jews, or Muslims are justified in slaughtering Christians or calling for jihad. I mean, what Martin Luther did by the standard of his day was deplorable. And remember, he knew better, because 20 years earlier in 1523, he put out a lovely little book that Jesus Christ was born a Jew, respectfully to the Jews, and said, if I had been a Jew and seen how the church, meaning the Catholic Church, treated the Jews, I would rather have been a pig than a Christian. So Luther knew better. So anything that downplays his gross anti-Semitism, or says, well, it was just theological, it was not racial. Oh, so it's fine to say, burn down their synagogues and forbid their rabbis to teach on the penalty of death. That's fine if it's theological, not racial. Don't lift a finger, my brother, to say anything in defense of Luther's anti-Semitism or to downplay it. Much better to say it is deplorable, inexcusable, and a massive blemish on his life and legacy. We thank God for the good that God did through him, and we grieve over the evil that came from him. Full stop, end of subject. Carrie, do you have hope that one day charismatics and cessationists can unite on some biblical essentials? Is there ever a day you can see in the future charismatics and cessationists united, which would have some essential agreements? Carrie, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. In other words, the vast majority of cessationists are not anti-charismatics. The vast majority of cessationists are not spending most of their time bashing charismatics. That's not who they are. There is a small group, primarily of Calvinists, some are not, but primarily Calvinist cessationists, who really have it as their mission and feel that they're calling to confront what they see as charismatic error and false teaching. I've worked with cessationists for years. I've taught at cessationist seminaries. I've worked side by side with cessationist leaders in Jewish ministry for decades. I've worked side by side with cessationist leaders in the culture wars for years. So we're on the same team. We're absolutely on the same team and absolutely working together in many, many ways. So yes and amen, may it happen more and more. Now, I appealed to Pastor MacArthur to stand side by side with the many fine charismatics around the world and not to be put off by the worst of them and not to wrongly characterize all of them. I strongly encourage that and to say, hey, you're an expository preacher. Help train some of our preachers to be expository preachers. But of course, that's not a call that he heard or received. Justin Riley, Dr. Brown, almost every New Testament book warns against false teachers. Why are you so reluctant to warn and protect the flock? As a leader of charismatics, you seem to care more about protecting individuals rather than protecting the body of believers. Justine, you're 100% wrong there. Completely 100% wrong, and apparently only know me through the lens, or primarily know me through the lens, of the anti-charismatic critics. Let me ask you a question. Name for me the false teachers when Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13, such are false apostles, etc. Name for me the super apostles. Paul opposed them in 1 and 2 Corinthians at length. The super apostles. Give me their names. Oh, you can't? Because Paul didn't mention their names? Oh, okay. Other times he mentioned names, but not there. Okay. Let's go to 2 Peter 2, where Peter calls out and warns against the false teachers who bring in damnable heresies and spends the second chapter of 2 Peter talking largely about this. Give me their names. Oh, what? He didn't name them? He just talked about the error and warned against false teachers? Oh, okay. Let's go a little further. 1 John speaks about those who went out from us, speaks about those who are that many false prophets have gone into the world, and those who left us and are opposing us of the spirit of Antichrist. What were their names? What? He doesn't mention their names at all? No, he doesn't. Okay, why? Because you don't always mention names. You mention issues. And you warn about those leading others into error. I've done that for decades. Have you read my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise? Have you read my book, How Saved Are We? Have you read my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God? Have you read my book, Playing with Holy Fire? Have you read my book, Hyper Grace? These are whole books. Have you read those? And have you read in Hyper Grace where it was appropriate to mention names and call people out by name? I do it as God burdens me. I do it as he directs me to. I am not the corrector in chief. Here's the other thing. There are people that the critics of the charismatic movement call out as false teachers that I don't believe are false teachers. There are people they call out and say they're not saved. They are servants of Satan. If they were to die right now, they're not saved. According to everything I know, some of these people love Jesus and are solid believers who've been misrepresented or in the past said some foolish things that they no longer teach. So I would say it's best to get to know me, who I am. All right, I've got to make an abrupt stop. I lost track of time recording outside of our studio. So we got to run. We're out of time. Look forward to talking to you on the road. Start to meet. You can't resist.